I'm in Overwallop with the walloping vicar herself, Vanessa.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me. We're sitting in the garden and there's lots of birds and we might hear the dog. I think the chickens are going to be quiet, hopefully.
Yes, they've been locked away, so hopefully they'll be quiet. We haven't got a cop call, so we should be fine.
So first question is, where did we first meet?
I believe it was, it's going to sound very highly academic, but it was the first MA tutorial.
I think it probably was.
Which sounds absolutely perfect for you, but kind of bewildering that I should ever have been there in the first place. And I know you actually achieved your MA, and I achieved a pantomime and a PG dip.
Yeah, for a long time I wasn't sure I was going to achieve my MA, because I did put it into abeyance for quite a long time.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a bit touch and go, because I wasn't allowed to do it during my curacy, the first 2 years of my curacy, so I failed to finish my dissertation before and then had to put it all into abeyance for 2 years and then still was really pushed to finish it.
I put mine into abeyance and then decided I was never going to get around to it anyway, so took it back out of abeyance and just killed it.
Well, there we go. So yeah, it was an MA tutorial. Was it, I was pregnant with Elspeth, I think?
I think you were, yes, because I remember you saying in the first lesson that you got, that we'd be, not lesson, but the first seminar or tutorial type thing, that we'd be seeing more and more of you and then hopefully less and less of you when Elspeth was obviously going to be born.
Mm.
And you did get a little bit rounder, as mums tend to do, and then you got a lot less round and Elspeth is now in the world. And actually, Elspeth's taller than you now, isn't she?
She's quite a lot taller than me. And when she was tiny, she did come to some MA classes.
She did?
She did. She did pay attention or something.
You had somebody who would look after her, and you would, and in their break, coffee break, she'd go and you would feed her and care for her.
And then give her back to the person who was babysitting her.
It sounds ideal. In some ways.
Yeah.
See, I had mine in curacy, and I remember being sat in potty training, leaking, and thinking, oh, for goodness sake, we need to end now. But I didn't feel like I could say anything because, as you well know, our tutor was would have had no experience at all of children.
He was inexperienced in the problems of breastfeeding mothers, I think is probably...
Hugely, yes.
Fair to say.
Absolutely. But he very kindly gave me his study to use at lunchtimes and things so I could then go and do what I needed to do, but...
Mm. Yeah. The next question is, do you drink tea?
Indeed, I am at the moment. My mug says, where there's tea, there's hope. But I also have a second cup and saucer, and that one's got G&T in it.
Mm.
It's Sunday evening, and I'm tired.
It is Sunday evening. And I haven't led any worship today, because I'm on sabbatical. Yay!
And my sabbatical's not to the end of the year.
Mm.
So I'll come and see you on a Sunday.
Yeah, that seems fair enough. What's your favourite cup of tea?
I quite like Ceylon as a general robust cup of tea. But I did have some rose tea when I was in Stratford, and that is just lovely. So it's got the proper tea to it. It's not just like a fruit herbal thing. It's got your tannin and caffeine in it, but it's got this lovely rose petally. So it's a bit like drinking Turkish Delight without the sickliness to it.
I was going to say, I would have to be in the right mood for drinking Turkish Delight, but if it's not sickly...
It's not sickly, no.
That might be okay. If you're wondering, I am trying to eat shortbread, biscuits and interview at the same time. So if you hear crunches, that's why. Vanessa's provided gluten-free shortbread fingers and I'm trying not to be like Cookie Monster. I'm not necessarily succeeding. I now have a biscuit in both hands. So, the big question...
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I'm not even sure if it's sleeping, to be honest. I think maybe a couple of naps here and there. I think church going has come to an end. People don't go to church in the way they used to do. So numbers look like they're in freefall, and the church is dying because of that, because we don't have people who automatically come to church. It's a done thing. They don't retire early and take up church wardenship and all that kind of thing. But the people who do come to church are people who are genuinely there because they want to be there and want to be there for God, which means the churches may be smaller, but in some ways they're much more alive and more vibrant because of that, which is in some ways is problematic in a structured church, an institutionalised church. Some of the parishes we've got here are so small physically the villages are tiny, and if you take, you know, if a whole 10% of the entire population would come to church, you might be three people. So actually they're doing probably better than other villages, but they haven't got the bases there to begin with.
Do you do church things not on a Sunday here?
It depends what you mean by church things. We don't do the traditional services. We have a very occasional midweek communion once every 2 months, which fits into our coffee club. But the coffee club happens every month. But that's not worship, but it's run by the church. We have a toddler group every week during term time, and that always finishes with prayers, toddler-based prayers and blessing and a Bible story. So that's a form of worship, but it's midweek, it's not in church. You wouldn't traditionally think of it as church. The youth group runs, oh, that's on a Sunday, it doesn't count, does it? And we, when we go into school every single week, so you get 100 children, 150 children, who wouldn't come to Sunday school, but they are entering into an act of worship led by the vicar every week.
See, because where we are, particularly in Killearn, last year we had more non-Sunday attendance than Sunday attendance. We actually tipped the balance in the year.
So what do you do not on a Sunday?
So we have a midweek communion every Thursday. Once a month we have a big children's service, which is like a messy church with songs and prayers and story in it, and that is the biggest single act of worship that we have in the week there. So there, we also have a toddler group. Now toddlers is not actually worship ours, doesn't tip the balance, because we have songs and we have a Bible story, but we don't have enough prayer for it to tick the fresh expression box of what is worship. But as attendance, then those things, so our midweek, our toddlers, and our Friday afternoon messy church is, it's not properly messy church because it doesn't have a meal because of the time it is, but those are more attended than our Sunday services.
It's really interesting. I suppose part of that depends on where you are as well. I mean, Clern's not, it's not too dissimilar from where we are, is it? It's still really quite rural, but we're still very traditional around here, so our church attendance has grown a bit and in numbers and decreased in age, which is in the Wallops. Some of the other villages are smaller, so they're struggling a bit more, and we tend, we have our, it's not that regular, probably doesn't tick the box being regular, but every half term we have a kids club on school premises, and that can attract, and that's children who have opted in, and 40 is not an uncommon number to have, and there's food, which could be the main attraction, the only after school club that starts with food, and worship songs, and we end with prayer, and there's teaching and activity within that, so that's really well attended. And most of these children don't come to church, and their families aren't connected to the church at all.
So in Box, we've just started a joint venture with the Methodist Church as an after-school, like an after-school version of... and that finishes with a meal. And in Box, some of our kind of extra activities are Sunday afternoons and Sunday evenings. So that doesn't show so clearly on the Sunday attendance. But they're not the traditional services, so we have quite a big nursing home communion once a month on a Sunday, which another different member of the team runs, and we have Heart for Rudlow, which is twice a month.
But we have the nursing home. And at times that has been one of our biggest. It's bigger than our 8 o'clock service. That tends to depend on who is employed as the activities coordinator, and we've got a fantastic one at the moment. So the numbers are up, who actually are up in time in the morning, because there's somebody there to ensure that the right people are organised.
I think I kind of took that over from someone else who'd been running it, and we did it on a Sunday for a long time. It was really hard to do it without the activities coordinator being there. So I moved it midweek, and we expanded it, and the activities coordinator is there, and it makes a real difference to actually kind of facilitating people to come along to it.
And our activities coordinator is brilliant. So she's doing something unusual for the residents of the nursing home. She'll invite the toddler group. So the toddler group have been invited to the nursing home a couple of times now. One was to make Christmas decorations, and that was brilliant because all of a sudden the residents aren't helpless. They're looking out for the little ones and telling them what to do and what not to do. Be careful of the scissors, and there's a life book to them. And for the little ones, it's just another activity, lots of grannies around. And they brought some llamas in one day. So this pair of llamas were travel around to nursing home and the like, and so they invited the toddler group as well. So we've got this absolute mayhem in the ballroom, in the living room area, with these two alpacas or llamas, I'm not sure, but fur, woolly creatures. And we were told specifically not to touch their behinds, their neck, not the head, like the head, definitely don't go behind them. And the little ones are fine, they're loving stroking the necks. And then one of our older ones says, "Oh, we've got sheep in the living room." And then she starts to pull straw and poke straw in and out of its rear end. And I'm just sitting there going, this is not going to be good.
I think the multi-generational thing is quite interesting because Heart for Redlow sometimes has our eldest attendee is over 90 now. And our youngest, we sometimes have newborns, and so we have that age range in that setting. And
people, what about teenagers?
We don't have so many teenagers in that.
But you do have some.
Sometimes people tip up to help.
We did have that with Tea Time Praise before it went into its more sort of informal gathering stage for rest. Where we did, our eldest was in his 90s, and our youngest was a babe in arms, and we had two teenagers, I think, most times. But that was lovely, just to see the full range, and see them reacting to each other as well.
So, next question is: what's the most fun we have ever had together that you're prepared to broadcast? I'd just like to say, I need to be prepared to broadcast this as well.
Okay. I think it has to go to Jordan, doesn't it? When we were young curates, I left my firstborn at home with my parents, but it was such a wonderful release, and it was in March, so the end of cold, miserable weather here, but lovely warm weather there, and the hotels we were staying in were just amazing. But the most amazing thing was those buffet tables for dessert and the decorations on them. Shame it's not visual, and I could have recreated it pretending I was on Bake Off or something. The decorations were so elaborate, but we did get into the habit, it was help yourself, of seeing who could eat the most of the decorations without being caught.
Yes.
So there was some kind of ninja
moves
going on to see if we could actually. Your husband,
it was my husband mainly, and possibly did yours get involved, or was it you and my husband?
That makes it sound even worse, doesn't it?
Trying to get as many chocolate decorations off the off the,
it didn't have to be
mousse.
chocolate were top,
there were
points.
Quite on caramel, and there caramel were caramel was ones good. It was a really formative trip, I think, for me.
The whole week was brilliant, but that was the naughtiness, and mild naughtiness. It was that sort of mischievous, I'm a child and I can't really get into trouble, even though I'm actually in my 30s and ordained.
Yes. So the next question is, if you were Archbishop for the day and could change one thing forever about the Church of England, what would it be?
I would, it really is a magic wand thing, isn't it? So stop getting the knickers in a twist about gender. And it's taken forever to actually realise that Jesus validated and valued women, and that women are called in the church. But actually we're so stuck as to the white middle male class. No, male. It's Sunday evening, I can't talk.
But
anybody
really
who doesn't fit into that heterosexual role is just still almost untouchable. And yet, Jesus never actually identified his gender. He was never in a relationship, as far as we can tell from the Bible. And he never judged anybody on sexuality or spoke about sex at all, really. And there's so many people who are broken and hurt because they felt that God doesn't love them because the church has alienated them. And people who are coming to terms with their own gender being different, whether that's orientation or who they physically are, that it breaks my heart to see them broken by it.
And God is definitely calling people who are gay, straight, the full rainbow of it. Mm. And I think we're just denying ourselves when we don't value them and what they have to offer.
Mm.
So yeah, go on, Archbishop, try and sort that one out. You're more likely to be Archbishop than I am.
I think I'm...
You've got an MA.
I think I'm unlikely to become Archbishop, I have to say. I also think it's a pretty thankless job.
Yeah, I don't fancy it.
Yeah. Do you know what I do?
You do fancy it?
No. If I would do.
Yeah.
If I was Archbishop for one day, because that's all I'm prepared to take on.
Yeah.
I would tell everybody that they had to take all the pews out.
Would you?
For every Church of England building.
Why would you do that?
Because I think everyone could then blame it on me as Archbishop and not take it out on any of their local clergy. And I think it would free up our ancient spaces, which most of them didn't have pews when they were built. It would free up our ancient spaces to serve the communities better.
It would, and yet, because I've not gone down this road, because I haven't got a strong enough argument for doing it, when we have the big services, and we have some really big ones, being in a military area, things like Remembrance Sunday or standing room only, you can squeeze more bums on a pew than they can on seats.
You can get movable pews, though, and stackable pews.
Yeah, they've got to stack them somewhere, haven't you?
I still think that's what I do. I think it would liberate the spaces of the Church of England. I had dinner on Friday night in Gloucester Cathedral in the nave, set up in tables. It was brilliant. It was an amazing use of
the space.
I've
seen weddings held in the entire thing held in the church, so not just the ceremony, but the reception and everything as well. And that would be quite exciting to be able to offer that as a venue, particularly people who haven't got oodles and oodles of money. And think that weddings aren't for them because they can't afford the big do.
Yeah.
I'm still torn.
You're still torn.
Yeah.
See, that's all right. You wouldn't have a choice because I'd be Archbishop.
I wouldn't have a choice, no.
So I would have told you. What would you like people to remember about your ministry?
I don't know. I mean, it's just going to sound just too humble to be real, but the sense of that if they don't remember my ministry, then the ministry's worked because it's not about me. And actually, so often you get that thing, don't you, where a vicar leaves and whatever project they've been working on disappears because it was only the vicar. Whereas if I would much rather that people didn't remember me, but the things that I'd been working with were still going because it was a good project and it enabled other people to do it. If anything, I think it would be that I belonged, and that's really hard as a vicar to belong anywhere. And there's always that sense of, well, the vicar's come in, but the vicar will go again. I outlive the vicar, and the vicar doesn't know what they're talking about. They don't know this life or that life. But to belong is really hard. So that sense of just being one of the village, which will never happen because I'm not going to be here for 30 years, but that I belonged in the community somehow, and that things don't rely on me. Because I'm not that reliable, really.
I think because of the way that I went on sabbatical, I ended up writing to-do lists, and actually everybody's had a to-do list of like, well, this is what I would do if I was here, but it doesn't have to be me. You can do this, you can do that, you can do this other thing. So that's, for me, I think it's going to be quite interesting going back to see what it is I actually need to pick up again.
Yeah.
And what it is that God's calling me to pick up again in that. That's going to be quite an interesting...
Or where God's taking you next. Yeah.
I mean, there are things that I love doing that I will just walk straight back into and I will receive a sigh of relief and feel very at home. But there might be other things which... And I need to not grab that back from people. That's going to be the tricky thing.
Yeah, my fear is that everybody loves doing all the creative, fun stuff, which I enjoy doing... and be welcomed back to do the admin stuff, which I'm absolutely rubbish at. Ideally, people would realise how much admin there is to do and say, yeah, you really need an administrator. We're finally going to dig in and get on with it and employ somebody, but employing anybody is a real tough job.
The last question is, what's your favourite thing which begins with T?
Tyrannosaurus Rex comes to mind, but I don't know how to validate that answer. Tea cake. would be good. Tonic. Time out. I could either be the chocolate bar, but generally just time out. Time when you, yeah, I can go time out. Time when I can not be wearing a dog collar and not be a mum and not be a wife. Not that I'm going to get divorced and kill my children off, but just when I can just go and be me.
Right. Thank you very much for letting me come tonight on a Sunday night, Vanessa, when it's so busy.
Very welcome. Would you like another shortbread biscuit?
Possibly.